guys, welcome back. I'm Lance Carter from Daily Actor. Today I'm talking with two guys from The Office, Ed Helms and executive producer-writer Paul Lieberstein, who also plays Toby on the show. As you know, Helms' character Andy Bernard was just promoted to office manager, replacing Steve Carell's Michael Scott. Helms had no idea Andy would be promoted until a few weeks before shooting when he and Lieberstein sat down for lunch. Now, Carell's Michael Scott may be hard shoes to fill, but as Lieberstein said, Andy's a great choice because any little problem that anybody's having, he would feel very deeply, which makes him very suited to be a comic lead in the show. I talked to both Ed and Paul in a conference call where they talked about Andy's promotion, Helms' career path, and how The Office might end. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. I'm serious. And now, here's Ed and Paul.
Hey, Ed, lots of times you play kind of regular guys who eventually triumph, and clearly Andy's done that now. I mean, he struggled so much, and all of a sudden he's finally become the manager there. Do you see yourself as that sometimes? I mean, do you see yourself as kind of a regular guy who kind of here in your 40s is kind of breaking loose?
Well, first I'd like to address the issue of my age.
Okay.
I'm 37 years old.
Okay, I got that wrong. Sorry. Good. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So now that that's cleared up, you know, I think that in some respects, yeah, I think I'm a pretty normal guy, and but I do work very hard, and I've been focused on a lot of goals over time, and. But I think that the characters that I play are just sort of a heightened version of myself, and I relate to Andy. I'm not sure it's about regular guy triumphing as much as it is sort of Andy Bernard is in a lot of ways an opportunity for me to exercise some of my own demons of insecurity and social awkwardness. So. He is a heightened version of those aspects that I think I have, and that most of us have to some extent.
I was interested in learning more about the decision to promote from within, as opposed to considering outside stars to come in and be the manager of The Office. I mean, did you consider other scenarios and then somehow come around to promoting Andy?
Well, you know, we talked about him without ever, I think, really considering that one of the big questions was, the natural question, a lot of what you guys were asking was, should we continue after Steve Carell leaves? And the answer was only clear when we said, our cast is amazing, and, we don't need anybody else. People want to watch our cast, we still want to write for our cast. So I said, although we may be, batted around different names at times, we were never really considering changing the focus of the show to anyone else but our people.
Ed, I wanted to know, can you talk about what it's like to work with James Spader when his character is a man of few words?
Well,
would you call him that?
Spader has played a lot of very creepy and odd characters throughout his long and wonderful career. James Spader, the man, could not be more different from those guys. He's a wonderful, sort of benevolent and cheerful guy, and so that is a fantastic energy to have on set, and it's wonderful. It's a kind of fun new energy for us all to respond to. Now, his character, of course, Robert California, is different than that. Robert California is a kind of aggressively confident person who seems to take a lot of pleasure in exerting his power, and that is a really crazy energy because it's so new to Dunder Mifflin, and it's not something that Andy Bernard is particularly well equipped to deal with, and that is exactly why it is so fun.
How did the process go for you in terms of taking the new job? Like, did you know ahead of time?
I knew about 3 or 4 weeks before we started shooting. The news sort of broke internally. Paul and I had lunch actually, and that's where I learned of the news.
Were the actors vying internally for a lobbying on behalf of their characters to get the managerial position, and having your character getting it, was that a way to capitalize on your feature film career?
I can speak to the first part. I'll let Paul address the second part, but I kind of felt like I've always really trusted the creative judgment of the show creators, Greg Daniels and Paul Lieberstein, and felt like they've gotten us so far, and there was a lot of internal sort of wondering and questioning what was next, who might be the next boss, and I think it's a testament to this cast and the dignity of everyone involved that we all sort of took a little bit of a backseat to the creative considerations upstairs, and what we're sort of eager to support whatever decision came down.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in terms of buying, I haven't seen an actor want a specific role. I think what an actor wants is, in general, is something interesting to play and to be challenged and stretched. And and we intend to do that with all the cast. And so, a movie can be about the lowliest guy on the street or the President of the United States, and it's not so much who's the manager. You can find something interesting. So no one really was pressing. They just want us to be engaged and challenged, and that's what we want in the show as well. So everyone's interest, I think, is aligned there.
Why, after doing all the searching and everything, did you finally decide that Ad Helm should be the choice? What was it about Andy Bernard's character that you thought, this is the guy that should inherit Steve Carell's mantle?
There are a lot of aspects to the Andy Bernard character to make him extremely suited to manager. One is that he cares about people more than he does about the product, I guess. That's a little simplistic. Of course he wants the place to run successfully, but he can take the role of a father in a family because he partly through insecurity, partly through genuine affection and being kind of an adorable human being, kind of the young talk with Andy, is one that is really caring and interested and empathetic. Any little problem that anybody's having, he would feel very deeply, which makes him very suited to be a comic lead in the show.
It struck me that you and Steve have had a very similar career path, from The Daily Show through the burgeoning film career. I wondered if you had any thoughts on that, and if you had a chance to talk with Steve since the announcement and get any advice from him.
Yes, Steve and I have certainly have a few sort of signposts along our careers that match up, and I really credit Steve, certainly going back to The Daily Show, when Steve did 40-Year-Old Virgin, that really broke the mold for all of the correspondents on The Daily Show, in a really wonderful way, and it allowed the sort of allowed the general public as well as the entertainment industry to suddenly see the Daily Show correspondents as something more than just these sort of snarky news reporters. And That's just something I'll always sort of be grateful that Steve did. And then, you know, as far as the more general, if I take a step back, I've known Steve for a long, long time, and I've always really, really admired Steve both creatively and personally. And he's one of a number of actors that that I've looked up to and sort of taken cues from as I've made choices in my career. I'm really grateful for that example that he's set. He's always just been really supportive, and even going into this new season, remains so. And I even got a really lovely note from Ricky Gervais the day after the premiere. So that means an awful lot.
Did either of them have any sort of, you know, concrete advice in approaching managing The Office?
Did Steve have advice?
Yeah, Steve or Ricky.
You know,
I imagine Ricky not, but did you and Steve talk?
No, not exactly. No, but the biggest lesson that Steve has taught me is more just about work ethic and preparation and execution and professionalism, and that's something that I've addressed with him in a number of conversations together, but also that I've just learned through his example. And I'm really grateful for it.
Did you and Brian Baumgartner, I know you guys went to the same school, high school, did you guys know each other much back then, and what's it like working with him now?
We did know each other in high school. He's a year older than me, and we weren't best buddies, but we certainly overlapped, and we were in a few plays together, and our high school chorus and stuff like that. And it's just been this sort of fun, ridiculous reconnection. We went off in different directions and then circled back 15 years later. We even have a writer on staff that went to our high school, Halstead Sullivan.
I was a really big fan of the Scranton Strangler. Do you think we'll ever see another murder mystery on The Office?
Perhaps. We overshoot quite a bit, and we overscript even more than that. So there's quite a bit that we have in our lore that never quite made it on. But I think we do. We actually did air a piece where Toby felt that he put the wrong man to death.
Yeah, so yeah.
We have a whole story that's kind of playing out where so we may start to establish a relationship with him and go visit him in jail.
Oh my God!
And then maybe there's another strangling that happens to throw the whole thing in question.
And given how much hype there's been about who was going to fill those shoes, whether you had any trepidation about the change or not?
Well, there was a long period of uncertainty. Steve announced that he was not going to be coming back to the show pretty early last year, and right away the question came up, well, what's going to happen next? And there just wasn't an answer for a long, long time, and that, in some ways, was a blessing. I think it gave us all time to just sort of zen out about it and come to terms with whatever it might be. I was anxious. I think we were all a little bit anxious to find out, but always confident that whatever the choice was, it was going to be good creatively, and that the writers were going to have. Well, would have made the decision with the future of the show in mind.
Do you find yourself fitting your role as you thought you would, or is it a little bit complicated for you?
Well, Andy's really taken shape over five seasons of The Office, and so I have an awful lot to build on. And what's really exciting about this season is that the writers are focusing a little more on Andy and exposing more of his background and where he came from, and that of course is sort of fun for the audience to see, to just learn more about Andy, but also for me as an actor, it's incredibly helpful and exciting to learn more about this character. And I feel like it's been, so far, it's been a really nice dovetail. It's fit quite well, and I've had a tremendous amount of fun doing no small part to just the overwhelming support of this whole cast and the whole our amazing crew and writing staff.
Now that Steve is gone, do you feel that there's like pressure to live up to what the show is with him?
Well, you know, I always felt a pressure to make the show as best I could, and for every table read, I get nervous, and that was with Steve or without Steve. I don't know if the pressure I feel is bigger. Certainly, there are a lot of eyes on the show right now, but I think that's it. Yes, but I put pressure on everything.
What was the documentary be about at the end? The documentary crew that has been with the office for so long.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and I'm not going to tell you because I think that'll be a very fun reveal. But it might not be about what you think. Is the show itself not the documentary, or is the show just B-roll from the documentary? that's good. I think what we didn't see was the very first episode, which is why the documentary is there and what they came to explore. I mean, some questions I guess shouldn't be asked, because a documentary, this would have been the most expensive and most expansive documentary in the history of documentaries. But you definitely understand why they're there.
Yes. Ed, earlier you said that Andy is a heightened version of yourself. Other than HGTV and a couple of things, what other characteristics of Andy do you have in your everyday life?
Well, the wardrobe's the same. I really like the way Andy dresses in certain episodes. But, you know, I struggle with confidence, and like most people, and it ebbs and flows, and I certainly relate to Andy's fear walking into a situation, but I do think I'm a little better equipped at handling it than Andy. But there's something really fun and cathartic about just sort of playing it out in the most petty way imaginable. That's in MO. And it's often how we, I think a lot of us are pettier than we will admit. In other words, we're better at governing our behavior, but sometimes our feelings and emotions are much pettier inside. And Andy's just much more exposed, and that's therapeutic for me in a way.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.